Good morning, everyone. This is a call with Prime Leaders Community, sponsored call. Karen Van Warmerdam from Switzerland is joining us, and the title of our call today is How Much Bang Are You Getting for Your Marketing Dollars? Karen will be talking to us about measuring your marketing return on investment. So today, just to remind you, you can mute and unmute your phone with *6. And if you have noise in the background, please go ahead and mute. But we do encourage participation because that's the best way that we learn. So if you can avoid being on mute, that would be great. The bridge lines are sensitive, so they pick up paper moving and shuffling things around. So if you could just be sensitive to that. Prime Leaders offers several calls a month on leadership development and business development, and you can keep informed of all of these calls by going to primeleaders.com and clicking on calendar. Karen Van Warmerdam brings you over 20 years experience in business development, and I have over 20 years experience in leadership development. So you're getting some great information on each call that you join in on. Plus, there are several calls for members, members only. So I welcome all of you today in our call. And Karen, you'll be giving us a power-packed hour this morning of information on measuring the return on investment. At the end of the call, I'll be asking each of you to tell us one thing that you picked up from the call today that might help you in your business. And then Karen and I will give you just a couple of minutes of things in our practice, information about how to get a hold of us, and programs that we have coming up. So Karen, I would like to welcome you to the call along with all of our guests today. And would you tell us a little bit about what you have in store for us today?
Yes. Well, you know, some of this idea of to do this particular subject on this call came from our last class, or our last two classes. And so the things that I wanted to cover today really were how most people or organizations currently address their marketing ROI, from what I've seen in my experience with both clients and within the corporate world. So that's the first point. The second point is understanding how you can measure that, what you're actually getting back from the investment you're putting in. The third point is to lead people through an exercise so that they can begin to at least use a simple method to begin measuring their own marketing ROI for themselves in their business. And the last one is to really understand the importance of what it brings if you go through the work of actually tracking the information, measuring it, and evaluating it, so that put it in a larger context. Why should I do this for my business, and what is it going to bring me if I spend this extra time on it? So those are the four things that I sort of have planned to cover here, Cheryl.
Thank you, Karen. It sounds like some really good information, and I could see what the importance of not measuring the return on investment. I'd like to begin first by asking people how they do it. So would anyone on the call like to tell us how you measure the return when you do any type of marketing? This is your chance to get some feedback from Karen. So, if you
or is the truth that that no one's actually using a system of any sort?
Well, I'm using a tracking by asking the clients who come in where they heard about the business and which advertising they heard it from, and then I've sort of amateurishly been figuring out how much it cost me for that particular piece and how much money I'm actually getting by. Sometimes I can just see one client and that it's paid for itself. So I don't even know. That's not necessarily very scientific, but it seems if I don't hear that one of my advertising pieces or marketing things is working over a period of time, then I don't keep doing it. So I don't know if that's very good. I've only been in business about 15 months, and I'm a healthcare business, so.
this Karen? I mean, is, I'm sorry, is this Sharon?
Yes.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else like to share?
Hi, this is Debbie Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I actually have a spreadsheet of everything I market, and then the month, and how much it costs me, and then the revenue I make. And I'm starting to track the calls I get from each one, because I asked every time. But sometimes I forget to keep track. So that's kind of challenging for me.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Well, Karen, from your experience, how do most people and companies currently address the marketing return on investment?
Well, my experience from what I see is that most people in most organizations do very little. So, the first thing I would say that is if you've at least started and are aware of wanting to try to collect the information and take a look at it, you're at least halfway, above average, because it's been amazing to me how little people do, and that includes how little companies do, not just individual entrepreneurs with a one-person business, but even larger organizations. I've been in quite large organizations that really don't have that information and don't collect it. Sometimes it's difficult to get the information, as Sharon said, at times, for certain types of advertising, for instance. But a lot of times you could get the information, but even larger organizations actually don't do it. So until now, it's been a relatively rare that people have a very, very good look at this. What I think is going to happen is that companies more and more so are becoming more aware of wanting to be able to measure this, because they measure ROI in a lot of other areas, but marketing's been until now sort of a black hole. So the situations that I've seen is people don't do anything at all, or they do it but they don't really systematically do it and consequently measure it. Oftentimes what they do is leave it to intuition or guessing. Like they think, well, I think that's a good thing to do, and I felt that we got enough back, or I think I made quite a few contacts when I went to this event or something like that, but then it doesn't come back into a quantitative number. And what you really want to do, which Debbie alluded to, is getting it down to a spreadsheet or a chart and being able to actually get it as quantified as possible. So there's a minimal amount of marketing measurement and feedback coming into the entire business loop, and also a minimum amount of quantitative measurements on it. So I think this is a subject that I would say over the next years in business is going to be a much bigger issue. And if you're already started to do something and be aware of even asking the questions or trying to look at the data and track it, that's I think a very positive sign.
Another thing that's really important to track it is to know where to spend your money again for the next year. So that's what really helps me in tracking with monitoring the return on investment. So can you tell us what is needed to understand more on getting the bang we're really getting from our marketing dollars? How do we do that?
Yeah, well, I'd like to go back to Debbie and ask you, Debbie, can you tell us what you put in your spreadsheet? Because that's part of what I'm going to lay out here is the types of ways you can set that up and extrapolate it through. So maybe we could use your example if you'd be willing to do that.
I'm sorry, can you please repeat the question?
Would you be willing to share with us what you put in your spreadsheet until now?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It's actually just making a modification. It's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So
like what type of columns or headings do you have?
The first one is just what. So because I have newsletters and I have newsletters that I pay to get in, and then I have some that I was in.
So those are like advertisements in a newsletter?
I have a couple advertisements, and then I have like Yahoo search because someone told me that they found my business through the internet.
Right. So you have like an ad word on Yahoo search.
Mm-hmm. then I have the local newspaper. I had a bulletin in there.
Yeah.
And then I have places actually where around where I live and where many of my clients are, where I've actually placed cards or postcards in businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have those listed also.
Okay.
And then the next column is the month, and then the cost, and then the revenue, and this is where I need to modify, because I have who called, but I'm now starting to track just calls I get in general, where they don't sign up. So I can see actually how many people are calling in, compared to how much revenue I get from it.
Right, so if I lay this out, you have a column one, you have your various activities,
mm-hmm.
and then you have that spread out by month and the cost that you incur per month.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, you know, I have no idea how much Yahoo search. Let's say there's $100 there for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you get to the amount of revenue?
When someone calls, I always ask them who referred them or how they found out about me.
Right, like Sharon mentioned.
Yes, okay. I always ask.
Right. Yeah, that's the first thing you want to do is when people get a hold of you. So that's Sharon, if you haven't been in business very long, that's an excellent thing to do. Okay, so revenue, if somebody calls you and it turns into business. You track it, and if it turns into business, you track it in that column.
Those are separate columns right now, and I've only started to keep track of just the calls in that may have not turned into revenue yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was trying to evaluate actually some ads that I paid for, and I didn't know how many calls. I know how many calls I got, but I haven't gotten clients from them. So is it worth it yet? I don't know. Maybe it's too soon to tell.
So you did track how many calls you got from that particular advertisement?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So number of calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've been tracking from the, let's say those 20 calls, how much revenue you got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's a very good start. So just to give people another take, what I'd like people to think about, everyone else on the call, is you have some examples here of, you know, the type of activities that Debbie's doing, and you can think which ones are what activities are relevant for your business. And then the first step before you actually would do the activity, so time-wise, you know, beforehand, is to actually set the objective for what do you want to get. So, for instance, if you have, you know, if you decided, okay, I'm going to put out, in this case, I'll use one of Debbie's examples, I'm going to put out 500 postcards. And I know, you know, my costs for that, if I'm going to print them, and whatever time and effort it takes to get them placed or to ship them out or to deliver them or to find places that agree to take them, whatever that is. So you can estimate your cost. But then the question would be, what's your objective in setting those postcards out? So you might want to say, my objective would be to get, 40 postcards a month back if I had so many out constantly. Or you might want to say, okay, I'm going to spend so much money on Yahoo search at $100 a month. I want to be able to get maybe 10 emails and 10 telephone calls from that. So think about what the action is that you're trying to get somebody to do, and then set an objective, a goal that's in a quantifiable number for what you want that to be. So if you're going to do an advertisement in your local newspaper, say that you want to get, you know, 5 telephone calls. If you want to do a trade show for a weekend, say that you want to, you know, speak to 20 people who decide that they're going to make an appointment for a first meeting. And in each one of these, you want to have a quantifiable number. So the first thing in the chart that I would recommend is, next to your activity, is to actually put that goal down in a quantified number. Okay? And you think about what it is that those people would be doing, their immediate action towards you. And that's what you need to choose. So are they going to call you? Are they going to return a postcard? Are they going to return an email? Are they going to request to be put on your newsletter or database? Are they going to make a first appointment with you? Or it could be that they decide that they want to make some purchase. You know, it could be right away, depending on your business. It could be some sale. So plan that objective. Okay, that's the first thing. What is it that I want to get in return? And that ties into the larger objective that you want to set for the marketing activity. So, do you want to actually sell something and generate revenue? Do you want to collect leads? Do you want to increase your database? Do you want to actually get new customers, i.e. make sales? Or do you want to build an image or reinforce an image? Do you want to announce or launch a product? Or do you want to remind people of your product or service? So some marketing activities may not be that you actually want to get people to do something, but most of them will be. So you have to decide, is this a marketing activity that's really a call to action for people, that I want them to come back and actually do something towards me, that they're in my sales funnel, in my pipeline, as a possible or customer, or is my larger objective for the total activity something that's not that? So it could be a more publicity or image-oriented type of activity where you're saying, well, I'm doing this, but I have a different goal in mind than actually getting, as an end result, revenue out of it. And those are, of course, much, much harder to quantify. So you need to make that consideration, what type of activity is this really, and can I expect a quantifiable, you know, result back from people or not? And if I can, what is it that I'm looking to get? So those, I would say, Cheryl, are the two things that you want to start out with. What's the overall goal or objective of the marketing activity? And then if you break it down, what's the actual quantifiable results that you hope to get out of it?
So, Karen, do I understand this, that the first step that we should do before we begin the actual the activity is to do this part of it first?
Yeah, before you take any steps, actually, to spend any money or to plan any more of the logistics than you know, a cursory first pass to have an estimate of the cost.
And that really makes sense. So once we have this plan charted out from our objectives and what we want to happen, what's the next step in the process that we need to do? This is really good information.
Yeah, so you would set up the initial part of the spreadsheet, similar to what Debbie outlined, okay, and that plan. So you would say, okay, this is my activity, and I want to get, in response to that, you know, so many of X, Y, and Z. So an example that I have here on the sheet that I'll pass with the notes, for instance, is if you did an afternoon seminar, let's say your target would be 100 attendees, that you wanted 15 signups for your quarterly mailing, that you wanted 8 follow-up prospect meetings, that you wanted $2,000 in immediate sales and $20,000 in sales within the next 3 months. Out of 100 people for an afternoon. That's an example. So those two things, and then if you estimated that and you thought it was realistic, then you would say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Okay? Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
Any comments before I go to the next item? Questions? Okay, so then on the flip side, and you already have a little bit of an idea from what Sharon and Debbie's input was, on the flip side, you want to come back after the activity, and you want to track how many of those quantifiable items you did get. So in this example that I have here, you want to fill in an actuals column, which is also exactly what Debbie was alluding to. So in the example that I have here for an afternoon seminar, I said I would want to get 100 attendees, okay? So I would fill in exactly how many people I actually got. Now, if I had 50, of course, I didn't get it nearly as much as I would have wanted. If I would have had 150, that would be excellent. But it's not only how many people show up or how many contacts you make or how many people see your advertisement. It's then the next things that happen. So if I had a quantifiable measurement from out of those 100 people, how many people actually signed up for my database, I could put that number in. And my target in this case was 15. A different step that I could have got out at the end of the seminar was people who signed up for a first meeting. I had my target as 8, and then I would put in how many people at the end of the seminar, you know, said, oh, I want to meet with you, let's make an appointment. Could be 5 or 10 or more. Another thing that could be possible, if you had an opportunity to sell something immediately within the activity, again, that could be something at a trade show, for instance, right? You could have a quantitative dollar amount. So in my example, I said, okay, $2,000 of immediate sales. That's, again, something you can measure immediately after the event and put in the actuals. And then for something like this, where there's a possibility to get follow-on sales from an event, you could add in how much sales came in, for instance, within the next 3 months. So I set a target here of 20,000, and then over the next 3 months, I could track, and here's where it gets a little bit more complicated, which is, I think, part of what Debbie's seen in her spreadsheet, is you want to track which new people came in to your business, and from them, what new sales did you get that would have, of course, been connected to this marketing activity. So let's say I have set a target of 8 follow-up meetings, and I got 8 follow-up meetings. Then from those 8, over the next 3 months, I could say, okay, 3 of those became ongoing customers for me. And I had a business maybe where, you know, they would buy something every month. So I would know these 8 people went this far in the process, and these 3 new clients came from, you know, I got my first sale at this date, and they, of course, were tracked through this event. And then I could see 90 days from the date of the event how much actual revenue I got that I could directly connect back to the marketing event. So that's the level of tracking where you can really get to the point where you know how much you got back from something revenue-wise, as opposed to guessing. And that's what most people in most organizations do in large part. They're either partially guessing or they're completely guessing. But if you can set up a tracking system like this, then you can know exactly, depending on your marketing activity, which customers came from which event and what revenue, therefore, came from which event and, therefore, what revenue you got compared to the cost you put into the activity. So that's the next step, to actually collect that data and track it through the appropriate time period. And the last thing is to go then see, once you've had those actuals columns filled in, is to see, okay, what was to get.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh.
Hello.
Boy, Karen, are you still with us? I think we lost Karen. I'm not sure what happened. I apologize for the interruption. It's like getting to the best part of the ice cream and then it falls on the floor.
It did, didn't it?
I don't know about all of you, but I'm sitting here making columns on my spreadsheet and I'm thinking, boy, I'm not getting prepared to ask more questions because I'm so involved in the call. Until Karen comes back on the call, is this something that you feel would help you with your business? I'd like to hear from a couple of you what you're feeling so far.
Well, I think this is Sharon. I think it'll help me. The problem mine is it's a long time before sometimes I see that ROI, because I have clients who see my ad, say, for instance, in the Northwest Explorer, and they've already had their checkup for the year, but they might save it for a whole nother year, and when they're due for an exam, come in. That's what's happened. It's only been a year, but I've had people who don't need to come in right away, but they save the information and then come in later when they need it. So it could be, it's been up to a year before they show up. But then another lady didn't come in, but she sent three other people before she showed up, but they didn't tell me that she sent them in. They just said that they heard about it from an ad in the Explorer, for instance. So it's a little, I don't know, circuitous for me to kind of track all that. I just kind of figure out if I'm spending $240 a month on the Explorer and I get two patients, I've made my money. So I don't know how to make that work for me, but I'm listening.
Sure.
Carol, this is Karen. I'm back.
Thank you, Karen.
I don't know when I lost you or when you lost me.
We kind of heard a screeching sound and then you disappeared, and I told the group it was like eating a really good ice cream, and then all of a sudden you drop it on the floor.
I gather I was the only one that got dropped. Okay, so I'm back. So what did I miss?
It? Well, I was asking the group how they felt that this information might help them in their business, and I think you popped on in time to hear Sharon share hers. Anyone else care to share how this might help you in your business?
Or other particulars about why it's a little difficult to do, and maybe we can help work around those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you heard, but it seems a little bit, this is Sharon, it's a little bit difficult because I'm providing health care all day long, and I have two people taking phone calls and asking them to track the phone calls, and then when the people come in, they write on the paper where they heard from me, and it could be an ad that I placed somewhere a year ago, but they didn't need my service until now, and so it seems like it's taking a long time to gather that information, but so I just figure if I see a couple clients, I've made the money that I spent, so I don't know if that's not very scientific.
Yeah, well, my question would be in this case, they either walk in or phone you up, is that correct?
Well, they usually call for an appointment because I'm a nurse practitioner and I provide health care, so they don't always need to come in right away.
Right. Okay, so then when they call for an appointment, the people taking the phone, have you given them a guideline as what question they're supposed to ask and how they're supposed to ask it?
And then they also provide that when they come, actually physically come into the office, and they put it on, I have it on my registration form. And if they don't put it on there, we ask them. So that's
right,
what we're trying to track it. But
right, and when they initially call in the first time.
Yes.
Have it specifically written down how your,
where they heard about me?
How your employees are supposed to ask the question?
Right.
And what do you actually ask?
First of all, some of the people know me already, so we ask, have you seen me before? Are you a patient from a previous place?
Mm-hmm.
Or then where did you hear about the practice? And sometimes it's from the insurance company, sometimes it's from different ads I've placed in different places, and more and more it's word of mouth now.
Right. And so you have then the next question would be is when your people get that information, they have a particular place they have to write it down, or is there a place where that information is collected and then put into your database or your spreadsheet?
I have no database. It's little hash marks on a piece of paper.
Little hash marks on a piece of paper.
Isn't that professional?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, and I would say that that would be a good start. And then on the form, the only thing that you would want to coordinate, of course, is that you, if you're getting duplicate data, you're not counting it twice.
Right.
Because if you ask them on the phone once and you get an answer, then and you have it on a form that they fill out, then that's too, you know, that information should basically be similar, but it shouldn't be added together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just kind of sense when they call, and if they don't, and of course, you know, being human beings and not highly paid individuals, they don't always do what they're supposed to do. So I try to track it on myself by when they come in, I look at the paperwork, and then I keep it track of it in my head, which is a bad place to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad place for it to be, but I kind of do this little calculation in my head. Oh, I've had four people from this thing for X number of dollars. It's already paid for itself, so I know it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, well, it also depends, you know, how critical it is to track it in detail also depends on how expensive the marketing activities are.
Right, okay, yeah.
And how many you're doing.
Right.
So, you know, if you're doing 20 different things and they're all $1,000,
oh no,
you might really want to be careful about, you know, which ones do I really need to do.
Well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, if you're doing five and they're only 100, you know, then it's a little less critical. So it also depends on, you know, how marketing intensive your business is.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I would say try to make it tighter if you can. So, for instance, on the form, if you have maybe, you know, check boxes where, you know, word of mouth, advertising, or, you know, giving people a few choices as to what it is, or
yeah,
other where you or someone else can fill that in. That might be another way if you don't already have that.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So that if somebody says, well, I don't know, then you can come back to them, well, do you think it was such and such and such, or do you really not remember, and that could be an option too.
And if whichever newspapers I'm advertising in, which one did you see it in?
Yeah, if they say, I think I saw you in the newspaper, then you can ask the follow-up questions, is, do you remember which one it was?
Right, right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Karen, I have another question for you.
Sure.
A few of us were at the chamber meeting yesterday where, you know, you visit with people, learn about other people, and accumulate some business cards and a few of them that you want to follow up with the next day. That type of information should go in your spreadsheet also, right? Because if you do get a client or a customer from that event, that goes for, you know, that goes towards monitoring your return on investment for what you're spending for that chamber, right?
Sure, exactly. Because again, you think about, okay, you have probably Chamber of Commerce yearly dues, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's an expense there. Then, depending on how often you go to a meeting or an activity, you've got a time investment. Now, that happens to be a marketing activity that's probably higher cost time-wise than it is for you in any check you write every month or every year.
Yeah.
So then you want to take a look at, you know, again, how many exposures do I think I want to get, or how many, you know, first meetings with somebody, or how many new clients, is it worth it, or is this really, you know, word of mouth and publicity? What again, the first question would be, what's my objective here in joining and in going to activities? And then I would certainly track it.
Thank you. That's good information, and I've carried this out to a certain point, but all this information is going to help me get better at all of this, so thank you for sharing that. What is the importance of knowing the return on investment? I know we've talked about a few things, and money and time, but can you share any more of why we do this?
Yeah, so in that fourth phase, you know, after the data collection, then there comes this evaluation. You want to be able to look at, you know, the information you have and judge, for instance, would I repeat the activity or would I do something else with the money? So it's going to help you as a decision platform or information platform to base your future marketing decisions on. That's the first thing. Because there are some things, and this happens often even with large companies, that until they start to look at something, they think that it's worthwhile, and
And then the way that they take a closer look, they think, you know, we're spending a lot of money here, but we're not getting something back. And I've known a company that made a decision like that on something that was costing them about $750,000 a year. It was not a really, really big company. And they were making, it was a company that did about $25 million in revenue. And they looked at it, took a hard look one time, and they said, you know, that's a lot of money, and we get probably next to nothing out of it. We're just not doing it. It was a very high-profile marketing event, so it was publicity-wise and image-wise a rather large decision. But financially-wise, they thought, you know, it's just crazy for us to keep doing it. So you get much better information to plan how you're going to spend your marketing budget and decide which activities you're going to do for your marketing decisions. That's the first thing. And then there's a sort of domino effect, if you think about it, that the better you get at deciding what marketing activities to do and how to do them, okay, if it's going really, really well, you don't want to change it. But if it's not going well, you make two choices. That you can say, okay, I'm going to do something different, or I'm not going to do it at all. And as you either do something different that works better, or you improve what you're doing so it works better, okay, you improve your returns, of course, which is a financial payback. But in addition to the increased, you know, marketing responses and therefore increased sales, and addition to the increase then in your overall business success, I think that there's a bigger payback sometimes for people, especially in smaller companies, where just having it work and having your marketing work and therefore having your, you know, sales increase and having your business then prosper better is just a huge motivator. So it's a learning process, and this can help you learn how to do all of that better. And I think, you know, almost the bigger payoff sometimes for me and my small business is when I see, hey, it's working, and I've cracked the mystery in a way on some activity. And I think there's a huge motivational payback for that for people in small businesses. So I'd say there's, you know, a couple things to help you do the future planning for your marketing activities, and there's the financial aspects, and then of course there's the, you know, the satisfaction, the motivation of things improving as you're working on it.
Boy, I could see all of these really being important. I'd like to share, too, one thing I've done with a larger group that I work with here in town is that he has struggled with his staff to get the information on where the customers are coming from. He's struggled for years. So we put a spreadsheet in place, and we shared the information with the staff of why we needed to do it, because he's spending about $3,000 a month on marketing, yellow pages, newspaper ads, other things. So once the group, the employees, understood the importance of tracking where referrals are coming from, oh, and there was the little bit of information that we threw in there that if the advertisement is working and we're getting good return on our investment for the information, it could affect them getting more money in their wage or bonus. And if we're spending money unnecessarily because that advertisement is not working, well, on the same hand, it could affect the money that they could be getting. So once they understood the importance of tracking the information, they were a lot more cooperative on gathering the information.
Mm-hmm.
So clarity of vision really helps too. And even with ourselves, if we're a solopreneur or entrepreneur, that type of clarity of, you know, is this going to put more money in our pocket, or are we spending our money?
Yeah, and I think that if you have a staff who needs to do part of this work, Cheryl, I think that's an excellent idea to help them understand, you know, why it's important and what it's going to be used for, and, you know, how it could maybe directly affect them if you do a profit sharing or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one point that you bring up about referrals is that if they say, you know, well, I heard about you from someone, then just like we were talking about, you know, earlier, do the follow-up question and say, well, you know, do you remember who that is? Could you tell me who that was? And one of the things you want to find out is that actually from a current customer, or is it from some business associate or some other connection? Because you
might be surprised that sometimes your referrals come from current customers, which is fabulous, but you may also find out that you're getting referrals from someone else who's doing you great favors to your business, but you don't know it, or some other business associate who's not a customer but apparently thinks highly of you, and you didn't realize they were being so generous with your name, which of course is wonderful, and you might want to, you know, take them out to lunch and show your appreciation. So regarding referrals, that's another follow-up question if you have the opportunity that you would want to ask to find out, you know, who's being so wonderful to refer you.
And for me, that's important because about 90% of my business comes from referrals, so I not only thank them, you know, with a little gift, but really appreciate that. And that's actually one of the first parts on my spreadsheet is the referrals, and then the advertisement and groups and events and that kind of stuff. Karen, let's open this up to the group now of anything that you... that how this will help you in your practice, or one thing that you're taking away from the call today that you can implement to make things better for you. So I'd like to hear from each person on the call on how this will work for you. So who would like to start that?
So can we go ahead now?
Yes.
If we have something to add there.
Yes, please do.
This is Jennifer, and I'm sorry I kept muting out. I have 3 children who I've been trying to do a conference call in the office, so I apologize. But I have gotten some great information this morning. And I wanted to say that the thing that I think helps the most to me is to remember my objective. Objective, objective, objective. And I think that's sometimes something that we think, gosh, if we put an ad in the newspaper, we're going to get these millions of people who are going to just call us automatically. And that sometimes that's not what our objective is. Is our objective a certain smaller subgroup, or is our objective something else? And to always remember that whenever we're doing whatever we're doing. And that's what I think I took away the most.
Thank you, Jennifer. That's really important, setting our goal and our objective.
Yeah, regarding that one, thank you for that feedback, because in my head lately I keep thinking about the Stephen Covey line, start with the end in mind. That's exactly what that one's about.
Yeah.
Well, this is Sharon. I agree, too, because I think sometimes when you mentioned about the putting things in for image or reminders or something like that, that's an objective that, you know, I hadn't really cognitively thought of why I was doing these things, but I just knew that I needed to have it there as an image thing. But then the other information that I've been doing, do volunteer work and to do public service to pay back, you know, to the community, and that is very hard to measure. But I also have a sense that that's what I need to do, and I don't know how to measure that either, except in time and how many hours I spend doing it. But I don't even really know what I get back from that till way down the line. You know, it's like giving back, planting a seed, but when the seed comes up, when will that happen? You know, so that was good for me to stop and think about what is my objective in attending this health fair. Is it just to help somebody, or is it to make business? You know, so.
Thank you, Sharon. Great input. Karen, do you have anything to add to that or to comment, Sharon?
Yes, sometimes the returns are fuzzy. I would say 2 things. I would say that it's true that in some activities it'll take you a longer time to see what it brings you back, and it brings you back something that maybe in the end you can quantify, but that may take a while to come through. And I can think of, you know, something in my own business that has been going on for 6 months to 12 months. And it's only now that it's beginning to bring me back something, and it's actually bringing me back a lot. But it's come through in a different way. So sometimes the activity is worth it, and the effort's worth it. Especially if it was a relatively, you know, low investment. And sometimes it's worth sort of sticking with that. Especially if I would say that if you it's good for you to do and you want to do it, and there's some other side benefits to doing it, then I would say go with it and, you know, do it for a while, and you may find out later, over time, the good things that come out of it, and they may also eventually be quantifiable, or they'll still be rather qualitative things. But I would say trust your instincts with that, and watch over time what comes with it.
I'd also like to add to that I'm a firm believer in that it's a giver's gain world, that the more you give, the more you gain, and your gains can come from many other sources, not just there. So, you know, we put out vibrations in this world, and we get the same vibrations back. So,
right. So
thank you for sharing. Who else would like to tell us what you learned from the call today that will help you in your business?
Carol, this is Sal. I've got a couple comments.
Sure. Thank you, Sal.
Karen, you've laid this out very logically and nicely, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you're going to invest your time and dollars into anything, we need to understand how does it pay back against our goals, our expectations. And I would, you know, I'm basically a one-person business at this point.
Yes.
As I would expect many of the others on the call are. And I guess I like your point about if you're investing a large sum of money in this advertising and marketing effort, then it becomes more critical to do the tracking. But if it's a small amount of your overall budget, then maybe the tracking portion, because that's just one more task that we as business people and as family people and members of the community involved in other things, you know, how much of your 24-hour day can you devote to the tracking? So that could become a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly, I think, you know, the process that you've laid out makes perfect sense. I would ask a question here. I've been a member of a chamber of commerce here locally for a little over a year, and it seems like when I first showed up there, the marketing people, actually the advertising people, newspapers, radio, whatever, they seem to be pretty aggressive, and they're really encouraging you to do some advertising. And it can get pretty expensive on a startup business. How can we evaluate or make some sort of approximation of what would be a realistic return on, let's say, doing a weekly ad in the Explorer newspaper or whatever it might be? How can we, as untrained, you know, I mean, we're trained to do our business, we're not marketing experts. So how can we evaluate that?
Yeah, and I would say, advertising is can be one of the most expensive things to generate revenue. So the first thing I would think about is, given my business and what I have to offer, who am I trying to reach? And then think about, okay, what are my various options, and what are my highest priority objectives with that? So instead of posing the question, do I advertise and do I advertise in this publication, I would take a bigger step back and look at the overall marketing plan for, let's say, the year or the 6 months. And even for advertising, I'd say at least a year, and say, okay, what activities am I going to do? And compare those different ones vis-a-vis each other. So what other marketing activities could you do besides advertising? And then weigh those options and try to estimate, okay, do I think for who I'm trying to reach and what I have to offer and how I need to approach them, that some other avenues are better than advertising or not? Or am I a business that, you know, a weekly or a bi-weekly advertisement somewhere is important to
have people remember me when they need to remember me, for instance. So the first question I would start out with is that, compared to the menu of activities I could do I do advertising or not? And the second thing to remember with advertising is that it's the type of thing where the repeating of it has an effect. So you see it the first time, you probably don't notice it. You see it maybe the second time, you kind of notice it. You see it a third time, then you begin to begins to register. So companies who, you know, do lots of advertising, you'll see that there may be, they are maybe somewhere in a magazine every month again and again and again, and that's the reason. So when you would look into advertising, think about doing it for a longer period of time, and then measure your results. So, for instance, choosing a six-month period of time with regular placements and doing either the same ad a number of times or a similar ad a number of times, and then begin to make that judgment. Does that help any, Sal?
Yes, it does. So, I mean, it's something that you need to understand. This is a long-term investment, if you want to put it in those terms.
Yes. Do not consider advertising as short-term investment, and saying, okay, I'm going to place one ad a week for 4 weeks and then make my decision.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, of course, means it can get expensive.
Right.
I think one thing you need to really make sure and evaluate, like she's saying, is that it meets your goals. But sometimes we're choosing the wrong form of advertising. If that's something I can just plug in, that we need to make sure that the form of advertising you're using is something that's going to benefit your company. So look at the Explorer. Who's reading it? You know, or look at the Chamber notices. Who's reading that? Is that who you're wanting to target? And if that's who you're wanting to target, really evaluate where you're advertising. Because I know some of the places that we have done it in the past, I've evaluated and gone, you know, this isn't hitting who we want. And
exactly.
I know that from reading their statistics of who they have. And so, you know, the advertising people can tell you as much as they want that, oh, it'll hit this person, it'll hit this person. Sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
You really have to evaluate really strongly.
Yeah, you want to think exactly who she said. Who do I need to reach? Who does this publication reach? Is it the same group? And if so, what is the message and how do I want to speak to them? And if there's not a good match, then you want to maybe think of doing something else.
Good.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Hey. Thank you for sharing, Sal. Debbie, would you like to tell us what you're coming away with from this class?
Yes, I redid my spreadsheet already, so while we were on the phone, and then I had thought about what you said about paid advertising, and there was one that I was thinking about that it wasn't worth it, so I think I will not do it anymore. And so I get a lot of referrals, and I am from surprising places sometimes. So I'm tracking those, and then doing what Cheryl suggested to following up, and then you suggested perhaps lunch or something like that.
Good. Thank you.
Great.
For sharing.
She's already taken the actions and made some decisions based on.
That's great. Karen, you have brought some valuable information, and I, too, have revamped my spreadsheet here. So thank you very much. And I know you have some notes to send out to us, right?
Yes. I'll finish those up and email them out to you, Cheryl, so you can email it to
them. That sounds good. I will email them to everyone who has spoken up on the call that we know is on the call. Jennifer, would you drop me a line just to make sure that I have your email address?
Certainly. I have your email actually open right now.
Thank
you.
Karen, in case anyone has questions or wants to know more about you, can you tell us how to get a hold of you?
Sure. You can email me, and I have a new email, and there's going to be a new website. But you can either use the old one, which is Karen@salesachievercoaching.com, or Karen@epiphanyprocess.com. And if there's any follow-up questions or you'd like a short chat, I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love any feedback over the next weeks if you've sort of, you know, thought about what we've done here, made any decisions or seen any results or changes in your business. It's always great for me to get the feedback from people.
have a newsletter or anything that you send out or programs that you have going on?
As you know, Cheryl, you know, I'm in the middle of doing the new website, and there's going to be some things that I'm putting together there. Mm-hmm. So I don't yet have, thank you for asking, but I don't yet have anything to announce, but it's coming.
That sounds good.
If somebody wants to know about something, they'll just ping me an email, and I'll put them on my mailing list for now and include them when it comes out.
You know what else I could do is put that in my monthly leadership tip e-zine, so people will know that you have it coming out and they can sign up for it.
Yep, there's another way to do it.
So thank you very much for the information that you brought to us today, and I think most people on the call know me and how to get a hold of me, but I would like to share the new program that I have upcoming. It's a 3-month program on breakthrough results, on overcoming the barriers, and we do that sometimes with how we program our mind for success. And Karen, you touched a little bit today on setting the objective. So by setting the intention and planting the seed and manifesting what we want, sometimes we can get the results we want effortlessly. So this program is going to be 3 months. It'll be 5 teleclasses. It's $149, and there's guaranteed results that after you finish this 3 months, you'll have more results than you had before taking the call. So if anyone is interested in that, you can find out more information by going to www.energyofthemind.com, and then you can click on programs and find out about this, or email me and I'll be glad to share more information with you. So I want to thank everyone for joining us for this hour this morning, and wish all of you a wonderful day. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.